to obey is better than sacrifice. And to me, it's the same message, which is, where's your heart?
Yeah.
You can do all those things all day long, Holly. Where's your heart? Are you surrendering yourself completely to me, or are you holding on to things that you're like, you can have all of my outward stuff, God, but I'm holding on to this?
Yeah.
Hi, welcome to Study with Rents. Today we're studying the Old Testament. We're learning how to meditate on passages as they inform our understanding of Jesus as our Lord, our need for salvation, or God as our Father. And we're doing that in the context of five Old Testament themes. Today's theme is sacrifice, but the other themes are covenant, kingship, grace, and prophecy. So if you miss any part of this program, or if you'd like to go listen to the entire series, you can do that at studywithfriends.org. All of our series are on there, and you can just search Old Testament in the search box and you'll find this entire series. Today's is sacrifice. So let's get started. We're going to move into sacrifice. Jan, so how about you read that verse that you liked?
I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's kind of long. This is where Abraham was tested.
Okay, tell me the story.
It's in
your own words.
Okay, it's in Genesis 22. And it just starts out, sometime later, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Now, this part I really like. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't negotiate.
Nope. Hesitate.
He didn't say, "Wait a minute, you must be talking about my neighbor.
Yeah.
You can't be talking about Isaac." He didn't say any of that. It says, early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. And then it goes on from there how he took a couple of slaves and he took some wood and he went to this appointed place. Let me see, on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. And then he told the servants, "Oh, you wait here. Isaac and I are going to head up to this mountain." And there they went. And he took the wood for the burnt offering. He laid it down. But before that, Isaac wanted to know, "Okay, we're going to do the sacrifice, but where is the sacrifice?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. So that one verse there, 8, points to salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Points to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when they reach...
And teaches us about God as our Father,
because he provides.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He provides the sacrifice. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So then they went to the place. He tied his son up. There he was. And just as he had the knife in the air about to slay his son, the angel came to him and said, "Abraham, Abraham, don't do it. Don't lay a hand on the boy. Don't do anything. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son."
Mm. Okay.
And before I go on, like right here, I wrote a note to myself. God blessed Abraham because of his obedience was quick and it was sure. Like a good father, God developed in Abraham the capacity to love with a love that was a lot larger than he was. Look at the incredible love for God he had to have.
Oh my gosh, I know. I can't even.
To do that. So God was stretching and challenging him, and that's what he does with us. In our own trials, it's stretching and challenging us like he did with Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
For us, he will provide ram in the thicket for us.
He already has.
Yes.
So this is part of that already not yet concept that God already provided, but he continues to provide. Yes, he provided Jesus and we accepted that. But then day on day, he also provides what we need to be sanctified. I always say, yes, I needed salvation the moment that I received my salvation, but I also needed it every moment since then.
Mm-hmm.
Because I revert.
Yeah.
As soon as I'm given an opportunity to do so, I revert back to my sinful ways.
Yeah.
And so he did provide, but he continues to provide.
To provide.
Yeah.
And so we can press with certainty.
Yeah.
Because he did it, and he did it for Abraham. So he'll do it for us,
yes.
Right?
Yep. That not by our own work, but by his work.
By his work.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we ended up in two different places.
Yes. And I think that's like we've said a couple times now, I think if you worked really hard at it, a lot of these would end up in a lot of the categories. But again, all of them will do one or more than one of the following works. It will point us to Jesus Christ, show us our need for salvation, or teach us about God as our Father. That one actually did all three.
All three. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's covenants in here too.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. And kingship.
Yes.
Grace.
Yes.
Sacrifice. Prophecy. They're all in there.
Now that you mentioned it.
Yeah, you see what I did there? You see what I did there? So it is. It's true. This is, and why? Not because I'm smart, but because God is the same.
It's right there.
God
yes.
is the same all the time. And his character doesn't change. And you can see his character if you look deeply enough at any snapshot in the Bible of his behavior. You see his character shines through. His character is always the same. He is filled with grace. He keeps his promises, his covenants. He is the King and Lord. He has provided a way out of our own need for sacrifice through salvation. And he has fulfilled the prophecy that he said he would do all these things, which means he will fulfill the prophecies that are yet to come as well. He's the same. He doesn't change. Mm. And I love that I get to know him better and better and better, because then I feel like this relief, you guys, I feel like, oh, I'm okay. It's going to be okay because he's in charge and he loves me. And the more sure I am of he's in charge and he loves me, the more I can chill, which is really in life what I want to do the most.
Right.
Can I just stop worrying?
Yeah.
Can I stop fussing? You know, Psalm 43:10 says, be still. Mm-hmm. Is that Psalm 43:10? 42? I don't know.
Yeah.
And some translations say, cease striving and know that I am God. But we more commonly know that as be still and know that I am God. I want to be still and know that he is God. But how can I know that if I don't know who he is?
Mm-hmm.
And how do I know who he is? My humble opinion, you read that Old Testament.
Old Testament.
Mm-hmm. That is how you know who he is and what he's up to. Okay, so I'm going to read... Genesis on the point of sacrifice. Boing. I'm going to read Genesis 8, 18 to 21. And this is after the flood, and Noah had been in the ark for a long, long time. And it's three verses. No, it's two verses. 18, 19, 20, 21. It's four verses. Thank you. Math. It says, so this is after the flood, after the days and nights of Noah and his family living in the ark, waiting for the flood to recede. Finally, verse 18 starts. So Noah came out together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives. All the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds, everything that moves on the earth came out of the ark, one kind after another. And Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. This is... Okay, again, you can classify this under covenant because he says, he makes a promise. He is able to fulfill his promises because of his kingship. He makes a promise to have, the core purpose of this promise is for him to tell us he's going to have grace for us. But I classified this under sacrifice because Noah's response to being delivered from the ark was immediately to sacrifice. And in the Old Testament, we know sacrifice was an act of worship and praise and thanksgiving. And Noah's first response was to create a sacrifice. This, of course, points me to Jesus Christ. because I don't have to do that anymore. I rest on the sacrifice that has already been provided for me. And it, of course, points me to my need for a savior, because Noah, yes, Noah built the ark, but he couldn't have saved himself from that. God gave him very specific instructions on how to make sure he would survive. Mm-hmm. So that, to me, points to my need for a savior. That I can't save myself. I can't save myself. I need a savior. So that points me to Jesus Christ. And of course, it points me to God, my Father. And listen, I said this earlier. I'm not ever going to only point to God as benevolent God, though he is, because he is also a just God. He is a God who's filled with justice. And he was like, I'm fed up with people. They're a hot mess. Mm. We're hitting the reset button. Okay. And I'm taking you, Noah, because I'm going to keep the line pure. I'm going to keep the line that I promised from the beginning, but this is a mess and I'm fixing it. And I will have justice for the wrongs that humans have perpetrated. So he is a God of justice, and he is a God who maintains that justice, and who will have that justice, and who will see that justice to fulfillment. So I take comfort in that. I take comfort because there are things that I wish that I could enact my own justice, people in my life or circumstances in the world. And so I take comfort in the fact that God is a God of justice, and I can lean on his kingship and his covenant to provide justice where I can't or shouldn't try to do so. So for me, of course, that's under sacrifice, but it's also under all the other things. And it points to me for my need, to my need for a savior. It points to me to Jesus Christ as that savior. And it points to God and shows me another aspect of his character that I just want to know that I know that I know. He is a God of justice. Okay, so that's my little verse on sacrifice. Shay, did we do yours yet? I don't think we did. Can we do that now?
Mine was 1 Samuel 15:22.
And this is still in sacrifice.
Yes.
In theory, but we're probably going to find a pattern.
We might. We might.
Go ahead.
But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams."
Okay. Give it to me.
To obey is better than sacrifice. I didn't write any notes because that was it for me. That was very convicting. It doesn't matter what deals I want to make with God. He wants my obedience, whether I like it or not.
Mm-hmm. Can you speak a little bit to what that would have looked like in the Old Testament context? How kind of, would that have been something that people were like, oh yeah, that makes sense to me? Or would they have been like, what?
No, because 99% of what Samuel told these people, they were like, what?
Yeah.
No.
That doesn't fit with what we think we know about God.
We are not going to do that. Mm-hmm. Well, especially because in this context, in the time of Samuel, we're talking about people who didn't believe in one God. We believe in all these different gods who have jurisdiction over these different spaces and places. Like heaven is ruled by this, and earth is ruled by this, and the harvest is ruled by this. So you can't have one God that does all these things. So they're already tripped up in that.
Well, the culture would be.
Yeah.
But Samuel was talking to the Israelites.
True.
So what do you think the Israelites thought about what he was saying? Because these are people who have been sacrificing for a long time. That's part of their worship.
Maybe it was a bit sacrilegious for them to be told, I don't want your sacrifice.
Maybe it was surprising.
Yeah. Like, what do you mean? We've been doing this thing.
Yeah, let's think about it in the context of the Pharisees or in the Revelation church that's lukewarm. So let's put it in that context, because that's true through all the generations, right? There's always going to be a group of people who do the thing just for the sake of doing the thing.
Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so what I think Samuel might be saying to those people, and even to us right now, what God is saying is, where's your heart? Yes. You said that, Shay.
Yes.
That's right. And the truth is, I just wanted to lift out a little bit that they were still called to do the sacrifice.
Right.
But where's your heart?
He's not negating that. But are you doing it obediently? Is it out of your devotion to God, or is it, I just have to do this because this is what the rule is? Mm-hmm. What is your heart when you're doing it?
I'll tell you a little parable that I love, that I so totally relate to. I'll try to make it brief. So there's a little boy, and it's time for dinner, and he's jumping around. He has a lot of energy. And his mother says to him patiently, "Sit down, sweetheart. It's time to sit down." And he doesn't. And he is jumping around. He says, "I want to eat standing up," or, you know, how sometimes kids just want to eat and then go play. They want to graze. Like, "I'll come get a carrot and then I'll go back to my toys." And she said, "But it's time for you to sit down. You need to sit down." And they go back and forth for quite a while, as mothers and sons sometimes do when children are spirited. Don't want to sit down.
Politely, right? Mm-hmm.
And so she gently comes over to her son, takes him by the hand, brings him to the chair, and just gently puts her hands on his shoulders and puts him in the chair and says, "Son, it's time to sit down." And he looks at her and he says, "I'm sitting down on the outside, but on the inside, I'm standing up." And it's a parable.
Yeah.
Because to me, it reminds me, am I doing the things that got you? That parable, even as I tell it to you today, cuts mm-hmm. me like the word is living and active, divides marrow from bone. That parable always gets me, because I got to tell you that I think pridefully, if you looked at my life from the outside, I would look like I was doing all the things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All the Christian things. But there are things in my life, less than maybe a year ago, less than 5 years ago, less than 10 years ago, but still things in my life that I am not surrendering. This is I did a devotional on this and I called it the difference between submission and surrender. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about submission, and submission is a behavior. When you think about it, I submit, I will do the thing you're telling me to do. Yep. But at the end of the day, what it says in your verse, Shay, is to obey is better than sacrifice. And to me, it's the same message, which is, where's your heart?
Yes.
You can do all those things all day long, Holly. Mm-hmm. Where's your heart? Are you surrendering yourself completely to me? Or are you holding on to things that you're like, you can have all of my outward stuff, God, but I'm holding on to this.
Yeah.
And that's whole new ball game. When God brought that to me, that was about 4 years ago. He was working me out. Stuff that I was like, oh my gosh, you want every last piece. Mm-hmm. It was life changing. And it's not, I'm not through it. I'll always be struggling with those deepest. But Jesus said to me, deeper, child, deeper still. I want to go with you. And I fought it and fought it and fought it. And I said to him, I'm sitting down on the outside, but on the inside, I'm standing up. And I braced that for a while. And then eventually I thought, what a loving God. What a God who loves me intimately and personally and doesn't leave me standing up on the inside, but reaches into my heart and takes it and gently submits it to him.
Mm-hmm. Are you describing one of the passages you gave us was about, I don't know which one it was about Cain and Abel and how God received
the better sacrifice.
The better sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so was Cain not sitting down on the inside?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of conversation. Probably. Yeah. I mean, let me not say probably. Definitely.
Right.
Yeah. And God sees the heart. But there's also a little bit of conversation about theologically. Some people have extrapolated from that Cain didn't bring the best of his crop. Mm. So there was twofold. And of course, those things always follow each other. If I'm not bringing God the best, that is springing forth from where my heart is on him, right? So yes to your question. But then there may have also been a logistical, he kept the best fruit for himself and brought the cruddy, bruised fruit for the sacrifice.
Right.
Theologically, people go back and forth. Was it purely a heart thing and not something that God saw, or Abel was able to see, or Cain was able to see on the outside? Or was it a heart thing and the actual product that he was bringing was substandard?
Right.
And the truth is, like I said, that doesn't matter so much, because the heart is where it starts. Mm-hmm. And if it's wrong, it's going to be wrong no matter what it looks like on the outside. And that's all, we're saying all the same things.
Yeah.
All the same things. So thank you for bringing that back up, because it's the same message.
Yeah, I can go to church,
go to church, clean up my language, clean up my life, stop drinking, whatever you want to say, you stop doing drugs, whatever, like stop yelling at my kids, you name it. The things that people would say outwardly are evidence that God is living in my life and sanctifying me. And I'm not saying that he's not, mm-hmm. What I'm saying is there's still further, deeper that he wants to go. Mm-hmm. And with me, in the interest of transparency, mm-hmm. I'll tell you for me what it was an emotional, it wasn't an outward behavior. It was an emotional response. Nobody but God and me knew how I was receiving certain people and certain things that were happening in my life. Mm-hmm. I made a decision how I would outwardly respond to that because of my life being informed by God's word. So I was able through the Holy Spirit to respond in a different way than how I felt on the inside through God's sanctification and through the Holy Spirit. I was able to muscle that response out, right? Mm-hmm. But I was still living in this place on the inside of a different emotional response than what I was showing on the outside. And God was like, you know what? I'm not actually okay with you feeling that way, no matter how you behave. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you can behave the way I told you to behave all day long. I'm actually not even okay with you feeling that way. And we're going to fix that. And it's interesting because it came right before the, well, right at the same time he called me into this ministry. And I'm going to tell you guys, if he calls you to do something, he's going to work you out. He's going to be like, I have some work to do on you first before I put you in front of my people to lead them in any way.
Right.
And I was like, oh my gosh, this is hard. And I, of course I was like, how about we just don't do this?
Yeah. Can we skip this part?
Yeah. And so that in the interest of transparency, that's what it was for me. And of course, during that time, he brought this parable to me. I wish I could give credit to the person who's, I cannot remember where that parable came from,
right.
But it's great because it really does layer in what's happening in my heart. What doesn't matter? I mean, of course it matters what I'm doing on the outside. Of course he wants me to do good, godly things on the outside, but what he really cares about is my heart.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So thank you for bringing that one, Shay. Mm-hmm. So good. So again, you guys, we could do a study on every single one of these. You could do a whole like 6-week study on every single one of these.
You could be in your basement for days.
It's okay. I have water. We could survive. Yeah. Let's do it. I have a case of water in the crawl space.
This really does change the way that I'll look at the Old Testament. I'll look for different things now when mm-hmm. I read the Old Testament.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to put it on one piece of paper.
Yeah.
Fold it up. If you have a highlighter, just highlight that word, that sentence that I said at the top of this reading plan, which says, meditate on how each passage informs our understanding of Jesus as Lord, salvation, and God as our Father.
Yeah.
You right. could spend years on that. Yeah. Years.
Yeah.
And the great thing, and the reason that I wanted to put it on one piece of paper is it reminds us all, it's not that complicated.
Right.
You do not need an exhaustive concordance to spend years in the Old Testament understanding who God is. All you need is a simple, boiled down formula. Where is Jesus? Where is my need for salvation? Where is the character of God in this passage?
Mm.
It's just that simple. It doesn't have to be. God's not hiding from us. He's not complicating himself.
Yes.
Yep.
He knows us. He knows that we need him to keep it simple. But we do complicate it because we want to get like, I don't know why we complicate it. Right. We just are weird. Humans are
weird.
We're
ridiculous.
And we want to make, I don't know. We want, but it's probably pride if I had to boil it down. We want to feel like, oh, I can understand it. But maybe not everybody could. So let me make it super complicated so you can feel like you don't understand it without my help.
Yeah.
I'm so not about that. I'm about like, let me equip you. Go get it for yourself. Because it's partly because I'm acutely aware of my own flaws. So I'd rather you not lean on me because I know I'm not worthy of being leaned on. It just doesn't have to be complicated. Hi, it's Holly. Thanks for being with us today on Study with Friends. This series is a little bit different than what we've done in the past. You won't find your classic homework assignment online at studywithfriends.org. But if you want to dig deeper, what I did was I created a 60 days in the Old Testament reading plan. So really what we did for this entire series, the five parts, covenant, kingship, grace, sacrifice, and prophecy, each have a section in that 60-day reading plan. If you look online, under the resources section, you'll find a 60-day reading plan, and it's the content that we used for this particular series. So you can do that on your own, or you can do it when you listen to these Bible studies that we've recorded. We thought it was something a little bit different that might be a blessing to you. See you next time on Study with Friends. Thanks for being with us today on Study with Friends. You can listen to this program again at studywithfriends.org, and there you can learn about the girlfriends around the table today. Each of us has a profile on the website. You can also make a donation if we've blessed you in any way. We certainly appreciate your donations and your prayers. Or if you'd like to email us, we would love that. info@studywithfriends.org. You can also follow us on your favorite social media channel. We're active on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. See you next time on Study with Friends.